Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Please state the name or number.
The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Dial 869-1240.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The Drive on KFH.
Poco Toto Lobo week here on The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Now, that's reminiscent of the Eagles, but it's Poco with Randy Meisner. Keep on trying.
No, it's Timothy B. Schmidt.
See, I want to see if you'd get
no,
that.
No, you didn't.
Of course I did.
Come on.
You don't think I know Timothy B. Schmidt's voice when I hear it?
I'm 100% sure.
You're really sure?
Yeah.
Paul Sullentrop joins us from Annapolis, Maryland. Is that where you are at the moment, Paul?
That's where I am.
Now, yesterday we could not get you on the show. I was pretty steamed about it. Even mentioned the word that you might be banned. But you've since explained that you had something pretty important going on. Tell our listeners what happened yesterday.
I big-timed you, and I was...
Uh-oh. Now his phone's not working. We'll get back to Paul Sullentrop. This may be a potential ban if we don't get this worked out. I'm a little worried.
I bet Taylor Eldridge is available.
Paul's one of my favorites. You know that.
Of course he is.
Now you're throwing Taylor Eldridge in there as a threat?
Not really. I'm sure he's in Annapolis as well.
Yes, but Paul got to go to the White House. Taylor Eldridge didn't.
This is probably true.
So, I mean, just think of
Taylor had a red suit on the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, why would that happen?
I don't know. He wanted to wear a red suit.
Hmm.
Looked fine.
I used to have a rust-colored kind of suit thing back in the 70s.
I don't have any suits.
I had a couple of black suits and a dark blue suit.
I've never worn a suit.
That's amazing to me.
I've worn a tuxedo a few times, never worn a suit.
That's strange.
Isn't that weird? Hope I get through life never having to wear a suit.
Well, what if you have to go to a funeral?
I'll wear a nice shirt.
Really? I went to a function the other night that I had to wear a coat and tie.
The first time I wear a suit might be at my own funeral.
Paul Sullentrop joins us just in the nick of time. Paul, your phone
I'm
cut
back.
Out.
I know. I don't know what happened. All right, I'm back.
So tell us about your day yesterday with the team.
Yesterday, traveling with Wichita State basketball team. We toured the Capitol. That was very nice. All the, you know, the Statuary Hall, the Rotunda, all those kind of typical things. I guess the old Supreme Court, those kind of things. Someone from Ron Estes' office showed us around, so that was great. And we knew we were going to get something in the White House, I think, but you know, we're just kind of planning on doing the East Wing. So we did that, and then someone came and got us and said, all right, you know, and I think with these things, it's always kind of, you know, touch and go. But there was an opportunity for us to go to the West Wing. So that was obviously pretty special. So they hustled us into the West Wing. So we did that. And then we went into the Roosevelt Room, met Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was there to greet us. And the Pompeos, Mike Pompeo, obviously arranged this trip and was really, really nice to do all that. And then so Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and his wife Susan were there. And then they said that when you're in the Roosevelt Room, you're right, you're, you know, connected to the Oval Office. They said that, well, President Trump is here. We'll see if we can get in. So we were there for probably a half hour or so. Mike Pompeo left to go check to see if they could squeeze us in between meetings. About 10 minutes later, we went into the Oval Office and everybody met President Trump. Took a picture and had some basketball banter with the president. So it was quite the day. It was really fun to see the basketball players kind of, you know, get excited about the, you know, about being 10 feet away from the president and then about the opportunity to meet the president. That was really interesting to watch them have such a good time with it.
What kind of banter did the president have to offer up on basketball? I'm sure he was a stud player in his day.
He wanted to talk about some analytics. He thought maybe the Shockers were taking too many long twos and not enough threes in the rim. No, it was kind of standard. You know, what's your record? How are you playing? Who's your best player? You know, he talked with Greg Marshall. So it was nothing, you know, nothing specific, nothing out of the ordinary. It was just kind of exactly what you would expect among, you know, someone who's kind of meeting a new group for the first time.
Hey, Paul, I'm under the impression that this game is being played on a ship. Is that true or false?
I heard about that.
No.
What is wrong with
it's
you?
It's not.
Who's telling you?
I just thought it was. No one told
because
me.
Because played at the Naval Academy.
Yeah, and it's like the Navy.
You know, the Navy doesn't play their home games on a
but
ship.
But I thought this was one of those games that they were playing on a ship. Okay. Apparently it's not. My bad.
I think they got away from that after, you know, because a few years ago they couldn't play them because it was the court would be the moisture, the court would get too slippery. So I don't know if they play those on those aircraft carriers
right
anymore. But no, this is in an alumni hall, Navy's home basketball court.
Okay, thank you.
I apologize for that.
No, I
Paul.
Didn't know.
I mean, that's just I don't even know how to react.
Just thought
to that.
They were playing on a ship.
Paul Sollentrop with us. Shockers play tomorrow, 5 o'clock tip off. Against Providence, which is a pretty good basketball team. The Shockers certainly did not get off to the start they were hoping to get off to. We've talked about it. It's early. It's a young team. But this is a pretty seasoned team they're playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, a very good team. They handled Siena fairly easily. They've got a lot of talent, as you would expect. They'll be big and physical, as you would expect from a Big East team. So, yeah, this is a tough stretch for the Shockers, and not getting the Louisiana Tech game kind of puts it in a different light, because then next week you open up with Davidson in the Charleston Classic, and, you know, the Shockers may have some physical edges over Davidson, but Davidson will be, you know, well-coached, experienced, and precise. So it's a challenging stretch for a team that's trying to integrate all the new people that they are.
So I'm not at all forecasting a down season for Wichita State or a bad season or whatever. I'm just trying to maybe get inside the head of Greg Marshall. And do you believe that if the season weren't going as planned, that there would be a point where maybe he would abandon, you know, trying to win day in and day out for development of these young players and going more with younger lineups more frequently?
I don't know that there's enough older players to abandon. I mean, I don't think he has any choice but to try to do both. I mean, you know, I mean, Marcus and Smaje are the two most experienced players. I don't know what, under what circumstances they would not be playing a lot would be.
That's kind of where I'm going. You said it, so.
Marcus, you know, we know his track record. He hadn't been as good as he would like in these first two games, but his track record is, I think, it's pretty safe to say he's going to be on the court for 30 minutes a game. Samaje has less of a track record, but he still has shown, you know, some signs at moments. He's still their most experienced backcourt player. So there's not a higher draft choice to be gained by losing, you know, 15 games instead of 13. So I don't see that scenario happening.
Paul Sollentrop with us from Wichita State. GoShockers.com. You can read his work at the Roundhouse. Which of the newcomers, I'm a little surprised that Ricky Torres has gotten off to the slow start he's gotten off to. I know that they were high on him when they recruited him out of junior college. Wichita State has a great track record with junior college point guards. What more is there out of Ricky Torres that you think we might see down the road?
Yeah, I would say he's a key guy because, again, just like you, without knowing a whole lot about him, you know, you get junior college players in, they generally are more mature and ready to go. So I think that's been surprising. He hasn't contributed as much. I think he's capable of doing all the things you would think an experienced guard would. But he hasn't shot the ball well, and he hasn't shot it much. I think turnovers are something that have been an issue in practice. So he's just got to, there's minutes there definitely for guards to help out. And it is surprising that he hasn't contributed more.
What are your evaluations so far of Jamie Echenique in the exhibition? And he looked really good, I thought, the other night, just couldn't stay on the floor because of foul trouble. Do you see him becoming more trusted, I guess, as the season goes along, maybe working his way into the starting lineup?
Yeah, it seemed like we saw that in the game against Louisiana Tech. He rebounded better than any of the other big men. He blocked a couple shots. I think he's pretty skilled offensively. I think he can, hit some jumpers, some short jumpers, things like that. But like you mentioned, staying on the floor because of foul trouble is going to be an issue with him and the other big guys too. But I think he's kind of stepped to the front, at least minimally among the, I guess if you're going to say it's a four big man rotation, he seems to be at or near the top right now.
Paul Sullentrop with us. What's your feel for the fan base? Do they get it that this is going to take a while to develop, that these young players may not just immediately become the kind of players we're used to seeing at Wichita State? Or do you feel like there's a little bit of uncertainty in the fan base about what to think?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, this is almost uncharted territory as far as, such a long run of great success, and now, looking at a season where there is some uncertainty, I would think that, I guess you're always going to have, people at the margins, the 20% who will be irate no matter what, and the 20% who will, be in love no matter what. So that would leave, I would imagine, the majority of people who are understanding and can look at what happens, at what has happened with the roster, and look at the history and say, this may be a tough transition, but you would think good things are going to come at some point.
Paul, someone got mad at me on Twitter for derailing the White House talk with my ship question. So were there any other highlights from your time in the White House?
I just think the whole thing was really interesting, partly because it was a surprise. I don't think anybody expected to see the president. That was neat. I think the whole thing, this is my fourth time being in D.C. I came in 2006 to cover the Shockers and the Sweet 16, been here a couple other times. And I think, we have such, everybody has, or not everybody, but you have your opinions, your negative thoughts about government and politics. And it's good to come to D.C. and you see that there are people who are, engaged in service and are trying to do good things for the country. Come to the Naval Academy and you see some of the same things, the selflessness, the emphasis on teamwork and all those things. And I know that's one of the things that the midshipmen talked to the Shockers about today was trust and commitment and working together and service and all those kind of things. So it's a good reminder that, when we're all so angry and arguing about politics, that you come to a place like Washington, D.C., and you kind of see that there are people who are working hard for the country and trying to do the right things.
Were you able to console either Jim Acosta or Jeff Sessions yesterday, Paul?
It was interesting because, between traveling and touring, and then when you go into the West Wing, you have to give up your phone. I had no idea any of that had happened. So we were, this was late afternoon, so all of this had happened earlier in the day, and I had no idea what was going on, and, Sarah Huckabee Sanders didn't mention it, and neither did President Trump, so I had no idea until later.
Well, I was sort of kidding there, but
you don't think Jim Acosta was going to come to me for?
You are fellow journalists. So.
You weren't called a rude, terrible person though.
You never know.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I get his. I just have this. What they're doing to him is not right. You can't do that to a journalist, but I also have this aversion to people making themselves big parts of the story. And I think there's a point where he could handle things in a different way and still ask questions that need to be asked and that should be asked. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, listen, I've never been in the White House news pool. I don't know how it works. I know those reporters have always historically seemed to be pretty aggressive because I think their news outlets demand it. I think part of being in that room is to get a question asked, don't you? Not that I want to get too political here, but it seems like
those
journalists are pretty aggressive about getting a microphone in their hand. I see your point, and I think sometimes there is some grandstanding on the part of the journalists, but I don't think that's always the case. I think there are a lot of very legitimate and hard-hitting questions that are asking these things.
Asking and questions that they're asking on behalf of us, the taxpayers, and that's what I think gets lost in all of this, that they are there representing us, whether it seems like it or not.
Right. All right, Paul, and that's Politics Today with Paul Sullentrop. We appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a safe time in Annapolis, and we'll look for your coverage at GoShockers.com, the Roundhouse.
Thank you.
All right, that's Paul Sullentrop. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to The Drive. But before we take a break, how about this? Caller number 4 gets the pair of tickets to see John Mellencamp. He'll be at Century 2 on April 16th. Caller number 4 to Andrew. You win a pair of tickets to see that show.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.